Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. We're located just northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We would invite you to worship with us this morning at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study and 10:20 for worship, this afternoon for worship at 4 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. I've been speaking concerning the one true church that we read about in the New Testament that Jesus Christ came and established back in the first century upon this earth. In the New Testament, we find the pattern of that church, and that's what we are interested in as those who are interested in Bible study and truth seekers, to try to find how we are to be worshiping our Creator today. So when we look at this pattern that we find in the New Testament, we understand that we cannot add to or take away from it, that we must speak as the oracles of God, that we are warned that if we do add to or take away from the authority of Christ that we find within the Bible, we cannot be pleasing to God, and He will not take us to heaven. Last time I talked to you concerning the destiny of this one true church that's in the New Testament. That destiny is only one place. It is heaven. Today I would like to begin speaking some to you concerning the unity of this church. This church that you find in the New Testament, dear listener, if you study your Bible and you are seeking only truth, you will find that this church is undenominational. It is a church that is unified upon the seven unities of the Spirit that we read about in Ephesians chapter 4, and we'll be reading that in a moment. But I want to start looking with you concerning this one true church, these marks that matter and that are we're responsible as human beings to study God's Word and to seek out the truth. Jesus Himself said, "Seek, and ye shall find." We must ask God, and the only way we can ask God and for Him to answer us is to go into His Word. That's how He has chosen to communicate with us today, through His Son Jesus Christ, through the apostles that His Son chose, and the Holy Spirit guiding those apostles to write down those things from our Creator. And we have that today. It is the New Covenant, the New Testament, and that is what we're going to be judged by. And so we need to pay close attention to what we find in the Scriptures. Now, concerning this church that's in the New Testament, this one true church that Jesus said He would build, and in Matthew 16:18, and He built that church, and you can read about it in your own Bible without anyone telling you about what is right or what is wrong concerning the church. You go to your New Testament and you read what the Holy Spirit tells you about that church that Jesus built. First of all, we would like to notice that He, Jesus Christ, is the Savior of that church, and He prayed for this unity that we're talking about. I am assuming that all of us understand that the word denomination means division. If you take a pie and there's one whole pie, there is no denomination in that pie until you take a knife and you cut that pie into various denominations. If it's a pie that we like a larger denomination than normal. But we all understand that when that pie is whole, before it's cut into slices or pieces or denominations, it's just one whole pie. When we talk about the religious arena and we talk about this one church, we find that back in the New Testament, there was no such thing as denominationalism. The church that the Lord built was not sliced up into different denominations with human names and all kinds of different doctrines, as man has done to the religious arena in the last few centuries. But if you go back to your New Testament, this New Testament church was undenominational. Now, the Savior prayed for His church that He established, that He built, to be undenominational. He said in John 17, verses 20 and 21, as He's praying to the Father, He says, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Dear listener, one of the problems that we have today in the so-called Christendom world is that we have all of these different religious groups, and they all claim to be following Christ, and they all have different names and different doctrines. And so they say, well, there's many bodies, but only one head. So what they've done to the New Testament picture of the church that Christ established, where there you find one head, Jesus Christ, and one body, they have made it into one head with many bodies. And they tell us today that it doesn't make any difference how many bodies Christ has and how grotesque this might be, that it's okay with Jesus, that it doesn't make any difference. But we beg to differ with that, because in the New Testament we do not find authority for splitting up the Lord's body into many different human religious groups with different names and different doctrines. In reality, what we find are many passages like John 17, verses 20 and 21, where we find Jesus praying that we are to be one as he and the Father are one. And the reason for that is so the world may believe that you have sent me. If we claim to follow Christ, but we wear different names religiously, and we teach all kinds of conflicting doctrines religiously, and the people in the world look at this and they say, well, how could that be right? That doesn't make any sense. And instead, and many people, you know, have the ability to understand when somebody says, oh, that doesn't make any difference. Just so long as you're sincere, God's going to accept you. They've got enough intelligence to understand and realize that that doesn't make any sense. And so what we have to do is go to God's Word, and we have to see what makes sense. And I'll guarantee you that your Creator always makes sense. He sent Jesus to build one church, Matthew 16:18. He didn't send Jesus to build many different conflicting religious groups, all claiming to follow Christ, but having all kinds of conflicting doctrines. In fact, you'll find passages where the apostles said themselves that they taught the same thing in every church. They didn't go around teaching all kinds of different doctrines. They taught one doctrine, and it's found in the New Testament. And if we follow that doctrine and we do not add to or take away from the teaching in the New Testament, then we will be nothing more than New Testament Christians, nothing more than members of that church that you read about in the New Testament. And so we can fulfill being as God, as Jesus prayed for here in John 17, verses 20 and 21. Also, the inspired apostles pled for unity, undenominational Christianity, if you want to call it, where we just follow the authority from above. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. There, the inspired apostle Paul says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and in the same judgment. Now notice here that the inspired apostle says that we are not to have divisions, and we are all not only to be united in the same mind, now that's the mind of Christ, but even in the same judgment. I mean, there are things that we as Christians do together religiously that we don't have specific authority, and so we have to have judgment decisions. And here he's even saying that if you love God and you love Jesus and you want to follow his authority, then you will do all in your power to have no divisions among you. You will not only be of the same mind, the mind of Christ, and follow only his authority, but even in matters of judgment, you will not be divided. You won't allow divisions to happen because you disagree on matters of judgment. And we'll think of the other person better than ourselves, and we'll get along as long as we do not compromise the truth, and it's just matters of judgment or opinion, and it doesn't violate Scripture, then we need to get along with one another and give in. And a lot of religious divisions, you know, are caused because people don't get their way. They don't get what things done the way they want, and has nothing to do with what the authority teaches in the Bible. It's just that they want their way. Well, we're warned against that. We cannot please God if we have those kinds of attitudes and we cause division among one another. We also find that the apostles present the plan of the unity of the Spirit that God says that we must have, and that is found in your Bibles in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. And we're going to start spending a little time on this passage, and we may get through it today. I may not, may come back to it later, but I want you to turn your Bibles there if you're following along in your Bibles and studying with us. That's Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. It says there, beginning in verse 4 of Ephesians chapter 4, there is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to be the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Now, I want you to notice, in speaking of the unity of the Spirit here in the context, to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in the prior verses, I want you to notice very carefully the oneness of this religious order from our Creator and the different things that are compared that are one. And we'll start out by looking, of course, with the first thing, which is one body. Now, one body shows us unity in organism, or the parts. When we think about the church that Christ came to set up, the kingdom that he established, and he came and died for that body, that church. He shed his blood for that body. He is the Savior of that body. We find in Ephesians 5, 23 and other passages. And so we have to understand, as we study these things, that this one body is one body, not many bodies as the denominational concept is. It's one body. And we have to find out which body that is in today's world by comparing the bodies around us with the body in the New Testament, this church that Jesus came and bled for and died for. It says in Romans chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5, it says, "For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not all have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Now, here he is comparing our human bodies. You know, God is such a loving God that he makes things understandable to us by using those things in our realm that we can understand. We all understand how our bodies function. We have one body, but we have many members. We have hands, two hands, and two arms, and two feet, two legs, normally, and one head. And so we all understand that within this one body that God has created for us to inhabit while we're on this earth, that we have many members. Then he compares that to the spiritual body that Jesus came and purchased with his own blood, that he built. And so he says in verse 5 there of Romans chapter 12, "So we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another." Another passage we could look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 and 13. And there we read, "For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. And so we see the concept of the one body and the unity in organism, parts of that body. And so I'll pause at this time and remind you that you are listening to Bible Talk, presented by the Church of Christ, County Line Road, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads. And we're bringing this to you from KFEQ, 680 AM in St. Joseph, Missouri. We would encourage you to give us a call if you would like to have a Bible correspondence course sent to you. You could just call 816-279-4737 and just leave your name and address, and we'll mail the first course study off to you, and you can study that in the privacy of your own home. If you would prefer to study, have a live Bible study with us at any time on any of these subjects that we make known and study with you over the radio, then just give us a call and leave your name and phone number, and we'll get back with you as soon as possible. We appreciate you taking the time to listen to our program, and we hope this is beneficial for you and that it helps you to get more interested in God's Word and to study, to seek His truth above all else. The next thing I would like to look at with you is one spirit. As you study carefully Ephesians 4:4-6, you'll see that the second thing is this one spirit, and that would involve unity and life. In Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22-26, we read this: the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. So as we're talking about the one Spirit, this is of course, referring to the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is that person in the Godhead that we read about in the Bible that was instrumental in bringing the completed word, the completed revelation to the apostles, as Jesus talked about that in John chapters 14, 15, and 16. And the Holy Spirit guided them into all the truth. And the words that we're studying today are brought to us by the Holy Spirit through the apostles and prophets. And that word is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, in other words, applying the Word of God to our life, are all of these attributes that our Creator wants us to have. He didn't have to write a law against these things because these are all good things. These are all attributes that come from the Creator. The things that are against the Creator, that are wrong, involve transgression against Him, and therefore the law is against those things that are wrong and those that do evil. But if we do good, of course, there is no law for that, because that's what God wants us to do. And so we need to think about the one Spirit, and there are a lot of other involvement in studying the Holy Spirit in the New Testament, but right now I just want to focus on the unity of this church, of the truth from our Creator, one body and one Spirit. The next thing we look at in that text of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4-6, is one hope. And this would be unity in trust. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13-18, let's read those verses there. Again, that is 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verses 13-18. The inspired writer tells us, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus Christ, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we always be with the Lord. Therefore encourage one another with these words. Another passage that we look at here is 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5. Looking at this one hope, the hope of heaven. It says there, beginning at verse 3 in 1 Peter 1, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, as we look at the unity, the seven unities of the Spirit, we see that not only is there only one body, one church, but there's only one Spirit, and there's only one hope. There are people that are teaching today that heaven's not to be the hope, except for just a few people, and that is not true. In the New Testament, it is very, very clear that heaven is to be the hope of all who obey God according to His will and are faithful unto Him unto death. And so we need to be searching for that one hope, and that one hope is the only hope that you'll find taught in this one true church that we read about in the New Testament. The next thing that we notice is that there is one Lord. One Lord represents unity in authority. Since there is one Lord, He has that authority. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 8, verses 5 and 6. In 1 Corinthians 8, 5, and 6, we read, For although there may be so-called gods in heaven or on earth, as in thee there are many gods and many lords, yet for us there is one God, the Father from whom are all things and for whom we exist, and one Lord Jesus Christ, through whom are all things and through whom we exist. Now, there are many people today that teach that Jesus Christ is not God the Son, that He's not deity. Right here is one passage that very clearly uses the same terminology for the Father and the Son, and they are inseparable as far as that accomplishment of through them are all things, and through them we, you and I, exist. Now that's something to think about. There are a lot of false teachers around us today. There are a lot of people teaching all kinds of false positions religiously. And people say, I've met so many people that say, you know, it's just so confusing. I just can't understand. Everybody's teaching different things. They're teaching all kinds of different doctrines. And so I tell them, I understand. I know it's very discouraging. And there are many people that don't believe in the Bible because so many people go to the Bible and add to it and take away from it and teach all kinds of doctrines that aren't in there. And I encourage them to listen to Paul, as he said in Ephesians 3 and verse 4, that when you read these things, you can perceive my understanding. You can understand God's Word as Paul did. Paul was inspired of the Holy Spirit, remember? And so that means we can all understand the Bible alike. That's what that means. That's just plain and simple. Why is it there's so many people out there today that doesn't want us to believe that we can all understand the Bible alike? Have you ever thought of that? I mean, I have so many people tell me that, oh, well, it's okay to have all these different denominations because, you know, people can't understand the Bible alike, and therefore it's okay. Well, they're assuming that. They can't find that taught in the Bible. There's no place in the Bible that's ever taught. God established through His Son one church, one kingdom, and we have not the right to establish other groups with other names and all kinds of different doctrines. We are responsible to follow His authority. and to be in His will according as He would want us to. He is the Lord. He is the creator of us all, and we must be following His will and not adding to or taking away. And then the next thing we'll look at in the remaining time is one faith. As you look through the unity of the Spirit and these seven unities in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, study that very carefully. You see one faith. In Galatians 1, 6 through 12, it says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting Him who called you in the grace of Christ, and you are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and would want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel that's contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, you need to study very carefully Galatians chapter 1. Verses 6 through 12, because we are being warned there by the inspired apostle that we cannot follow a perverted gospel. If this gospel in the New Testament, which is the New Testament, if this gospel is perverted, if it's added to or taken away from, if it's changed, and if it's meant to teach things that it doesn't actually teach, then we perverted it. And it's very clear here to you and I and to all who are seeking truth that if we, that were the apostles then, and if it was the apostles then, it would certainly include us, but not only men, dear listener, but it says if even an angel from heaven, if a supernatural experience took place in your presence, God's warning you and saying, don't believe that supernatural presence. How many people today believe everything that happens in the supernatural realm that they can't explain? They just assume that whatever it is, it's from God. But no, that's not true. You don't want to ever do that. God warns us Himself in His inspired word. He says even if an angel from heaven comes to you and preaches any other gospel than what they've already taught them, which is the New Testament, then that angel is to be accursed. You couldn't get any plainer than that, could you, dear listener? So I want you to think about these things, and our time's about up. Please study your Bible and accept only truth. Anything you find not authorized, not taught in the New Testament, then turn away from it. It is to be accursed. God warns us and tells us. And we appreciate you listening today to Bible Talk presented by the County Line Church of Christ. We meet at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads, just north west of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. We'd invite you to worship with us. And we worship 9:30 Sunday mornings for Bible study and 10:20 for worship, and then 4 in the afternoon for worship, and Wednesday evenings at 7. Thank you for listening again. God bless you in your search for His truth above all else.